You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for tuning into Americana Music Profiles. The next episode starts right now.
You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. Although Izzy, frontman of Izzy's Caravan, got his musical start in high school, he became disillusioned with the music and took a break for a while before returning to the instrument he loved, guitar, just a few years ago. His 2020 EP, On the Pool, featured a number one iTunes single, Drowning Man's Blues. The band is set to release a full-length album this summer, entitled Below the Lid. Izzy joins me in this edition of Americana Music Profiles as we talk about his musical career and the upcoming record. Hello, Izzy. Welcome to our podcast.
Hey, Greg. Really glad to be here.
Glad to get the chance to catch up with you and talk about your music and your journey and your musical career and all kinds of things related to that. Tell me a little bit about your journey with music and how that began.
Oh, wow. This goes back a long, long way. I guess growing up, I was really fortunate to be in a household where, where music was a pretty central part of, my dad was a really big audiophile, so like really early on, I was exposed to some really classic rock records and stuff, from Pink Floyd to Dire Straits and whatnot. And I still remember when I first heard Money for Nothing, and I was like a little kid, and I was just like, wow, dude, what is this guy doing, right? And that was sort of like my first exposure to the electric guitar. Sometimes it's just one of those things where you know that, wow, this thing's going to have a real impact in your life.
Uh-huh.
And it's just going to be that with you. So that was it. And, I think growing up in a different era from now, I think there was always like this sort of bleed through between the generation before mine and, their music taste, movies and stuff.
Yeah, sure.
And so we carried that lineage through and that's how it all started. Right to this point where I'm creating chaos in the studio myself now,
Did you grow up in the States or a different country?
No, I was in South Asia.
Okay.
Then I was in Canada.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I think I read where a lot of this started for you in high school in Canada and high school rock bands kind of thing.
Yeah, it was back in university and that rock star itch sort of started kicking I still have these vivid memories of, back then I had a bass player called Ray, and, him and I finally were like, all right, let's do something, and we sort of went through that whole textbook journey of the musician, right, where you save every dollar, dime, you skip all the lunch and save that, $5-$10 and put it all in a, and then you start buying your gear with it.
Yeah, right.
And then I then I remember, I was like, all right, well, we've got some tracks down, we need a bunk list, right? And so I, again, textbook journey, you know, I placed an ad, put a little cheesy little poster in the local guitar store, vocalist wanted, must listen to CCR and Tom Petty and Motley Crue and whatnot.
Yeah.
And so I still remember this guy shows up one day and it's Sim, who's still the vocalist till today. And I still remember he was wearing this Motley Crue t-shirt, and he had this Fender Telecaster in his hand, and we started jamming, and we probably did like a horrible rendition of Highway to Hell. But I was like, this is it, dude. This is the guy.
Yeah. Right?
So Brotherhood started then, and it's still going on till today. Yeah.
Did I read correctly that you guys took a break, or you took a break for a while?
Yeah, we released a couple of records back then in 2006-ish, and then I was just like, when you release these things, and, you think every record is appetite destruction in your own mind, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is like Aerosmith rocks, man, and it just doesn't work out that way, right?
Right, yeah.
And I guess the music landscape had really changed then as well, because it was like we were sort of, had the spirit of old school rock and roll, but that was on the outs anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I became really, really disillusioned with the guitar and music and stuff. And believe it or not, I didn't touch the instrument for at least over a decade or so.
Wow.
And then it was just, a couple of chance meetings here and there. I picked up the guitar and it was like that little kid inside me woke up, right? And I was like, you know what? I think it's time to do this, man. I live once. It's been the love of my life. My rock and roll has been, so instrumental in everything from the good and the bad. So
yeah.
I was like, all right, let's just do this now, right?
Yeah.
So here we are.
So you were able to get all the guys back together then, huh?
Well, yeah, that was the awesome part. Initially I started out by myself, and I figured it's just going to be like, we want to sort of, jump on this train now, right?
Right, yeah.
But yeah, the guys were up for it, and they're like, "Yeah, let's do this, man."
Yeah,
and it's been awesome. Yeah.
Are you guys creating your own songs, writing your own songs?
Yeah. In fact, we're. This is such an exciting time for us right now. I mean, not sort of ironically being this pandemic, but exciting in the sense we're literally just a couple of days away. In fact, that was just. Literally in the studio right now, just doing all the final edits to our new record, Blow the Lid, which is scheduled for release on June 15th.
Mm-hmm.
So, this is it's been a pretty prolific period for us, at least in this pandemic.
Yeah. What's the songwriting process look like for you guys? Are you all in the same geographical area now, or do you have to do this digitally, virtually across the web, or can you get together in the studio together?
No, that's been the tricky part, right? We're having to do it remotely, and I guess it's a good side of technology, right? Where it now allows you to do this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's obviously that feel of the band being the studios out there or anything, but, vicariously, when we create ideas and stuff, we're playing by ear right now, and it's tough, but the tools are all there now to get this done remotely, so we had to sort of, improvise a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's going well, though. Yeah.
Will you be able to come together at some juncture and take this out, try to play out as a band, tour in the different parts of the world or a particular country? How does that work when you can get out again?
Yeah, you know, that's the irony. It's just every time we release something, we're like, okay, you know, let's just, fingers crossed, things are going to get better, right? Things are going to get better. It's just not working out enough even right now.
Yeah.
But that is the plan, though. I mean, if there's one thing, by the time we do get to do some shows, we're going to have so much music in our catalog that, you know, that wouldn't be much of a problem for us, you know, having a couple of EPs plus this new album. So we got, you know, a truckload of songs to showcase on the road. But it's just, I guess we just have to be a little patient and have a little bit of a thick skin right now.
Yeah.
You know, just, yeah. It's tough though, man. It's, yeah.
So the new record, Blow the Lid, it seems a little more in the rock vein than some of your earlier stuff. The earlier was a little more bluesy Americana rock. It seems like you kind of went a little in the down the harder side with this. Was that intentional?
Yeah, this was you know, I still remember when I did On the Pole, which was the EP before, that's a pure blues. That's more driven towards blues Americana side. And, you know, it still had that sort of feel of rock, though. But this one, yeah, this one's... I still remember when I wrapped that up, I was like, okay, let's start with it. And the next one, because again, like, you know, I said, we can't do any shows or anything, so...
Mm-hmm.
That itch to keep creating was there. So I remember after On the Pole, I got right back into the studio, started, you know, recording more stuff. But it's just, I think with the subject matter, I think it's also sort of a reflection of the social environment we're in right now. So I think that sort of really seeped into some of these tracks.
Mm-hmm.
And they just organically took a little bit of the harder raw. It's a bit more abrasive. It's a bit more crude, but also organically honest.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you're absolutely right. It did sort of go towards the more, even though there's a bunch of blues riffs thrown together. But I guess when the final sort of product came out, you're right, it's a lot harder than the previous record, for
yeah.
sure.
We're going to pause for just a moment. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the interview. Do you have a sense yet of what your what the audience's response is? Are your fans, are you getting any feedback? Are they enjoying the harder edge? Can you tell yet?
Yeah, we've released a few of the songs of the new album already, and so far so good.
Yeah.
I think a couple of them even did pretty well on iTunes and stuff, and so that was really awesome.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's a pretty cool feeling. And so I'm guessing, you know, but also it's, you know, again, like I'm a real stickler for to me the song has to channel, I mean, it has to go on the record on its own merits.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly don't really take into account how long the song is or whether it's sort of got a more harder, rougher feel to it. I sort of like that freedom. You know, I mean, believe it or not, we have an 18-minute song.
Oh, wow.
On this album.
Okay.
Yeah, and it just, you know, it's something Sim and I had in the catalog since 2006, and we this time we were lucky enough to have the tools to do it, so we did it, and by the time I was done with it was 18 minutes long, and I was like, you know what, if that's what it takes for the song to tell the story that I wanted to,
uh-huh.
then that's okay.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Fair enough, let it be. It's really fun that way. It's, you know, that sense of freedom and that sense of honesty that comes out. So hopefully people dig it, man. Anyone who can sit through 18 minutes, sure, man. You know,
it might not get a lot of commercial airplay with an 18-minute song, but certainly the fans will get a chance to enjoy it.
Yeah, definitely. That's going to happen, man. I don't think radio's going to... Like, all right, we're going to play this one, man.
Yeah.
Buckle up, 18 minutes. There you go.
Now, did you write an 18-minute song, or did it turn into an 18-minute song when you guys started recording it?
It turned into an 18-minute song.
Okay.
It's got a whole bunch of different... Because I guess when it comes to songwriting as well, to me, you know, storytelling becomes really critical to me. And I think that's what I took out from the blues. When I really got into the blues and stuff, even like authentic blues, I was listening to a lot of Lightnin' Hopkins and stuff like that. There's this sense of... dissonance sometimes, where it doesn't follow any rules and orthodoxy that people expect in a song, and I really like that. That's why, like, to me, Lightnin' Hopkins is just this, he's a phenomena, right? He's not even a musician, he's a phenomena. And I was really inspired by this sense of freedom that he played with. When we were recording this song, Curse of Anesthesia, and it's about Ivan the Terrible and his wife Anesthesia and stuff. And it's a beautiful story came out, and it just, that story kept telling itself, and the next thing, you know, it's 18 minutes on, but it's a really, really fascinating piece for us. And I think that's, was another thing with this album was, we've done some things where we've creatively really pushed the boundaries a little So that's another sort of big difference from the last EP that we did.
Yeah. Are you getting a chance to play any of these? Like, do you get to play them as a solo artist? Do you have something, do you have a day job that you're trying to hold down while we're waiting on the pandemic to clear up, or are you trying to still be a full-time musician? Yeah.
No, that, you gotta keep a day job.
Yeah, right.
That's every musician out there, keep your day job.
Right, yeah.
Music's an expensive hobby, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I'm a guitar addict, right? I have like 25, 26 Fenders lying in my house.
So you really need to keep the day job.
Yeah, it's just, you know, that's what I, you know, Fender takes all my feelings, man.
Yeah.
I just picked up a beautiful 52 Tele just last week.
Wow, awesome.
I think that wasn't enough. I ended up picking up a 52 Tribute Les Paul as well a few days after. So you got to keep a day job. Man.
Yeah. So this current record that's your new album is actually not out yet. Is that right? You guys are kind of releasing singles along the way, and the album itself comes out, if I think I read right, somewhere in mid-June?
Yeah, June 15th.
Okay.
The initial plan was what we wanted to do was release a single every month till the release of the album.
Yeah.
But you know, it's like COVID, let's just say COVID hit home, right?
Yeah.
So we had to put some of these plans on the back burner. And it's just, again, you know, it's just one of those things where you gotta, you know, be really quick on your feet to maneuver around some of this stuff. So unfortunately, we ended up losing out a couple of songs. So this album is going to have 8 songs.
Oh, okay.
So we released, five of them we've already released. The last 3 we're going to sort of keep in the vault till June 15th.
Uh-huh.
And hopefully people dig it. So on June 15th, it's officially the album in its entirety will be available.
How far ahead are you thinking? Are you working on a new one? You said you lost out a couple songs. Will you be able to incorporate them in a new project in the future?
Yeah, the way things are right now, I don't think we're going to be really going to get the chance to do any shows for a while.
Yeah.
Because we just keep planning, and I know it's going to happen, right? You know, once it comes out, I'm probably going to tell myself, okay, you know, let's take some time off now and wait it out and see if we can reconnect.
Yeah, yeah.
I know what's going to happen is I'm going to pick up the guitar. Something's going to come out. The DAW is going to come on. Next thing, it's going to be, yeah, it's going to be a song. Next thing, it's going to be all right. You know, since he's on one now, might as well, you know.
Sure, why not?
Right? Right? Yeah. So I know that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So I would predict probably, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if there's another EP in the offing by probably December.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. Good.
Right. Yeah.
Cool. So the new record is Blow the Lid, officially out June 15th. If listeners want to check out the new music or reach out to you and talk about some of these things a little deeper, what's the best way to find you? I think we established maybe there wasn't a Facebook page, but a website. Where's the best way to reach you?
People can check us out on our official website, which is EasyScaravan.com. That's EasyScaravan.com. They can even email me. It's the same thing, EasyScaravan@gmail.com. We do have a Facebook page.
Okay. Management's running that for you. Yeah. Okay. So they can get to you that way eventually. Yeah. Cool. Good.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. They can hunt us down on Instagram as well. Check us out on all the streaming services, all the music's up there.
Good.
It's all free downloads already. They can just go to the website and get those as well.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Izzy. This has been fun, and I wish you guys well with it. I know different parts of the world are in different stages of waking back up, so I certainly hope you guys get together and share this music with your fan base soon.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure. And thank you so much for having us, man. It's a real pleasure.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Frunino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.